got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming.
Welcome back to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, where we are in the off season now. The Giants have won the World Series. This is our first podcast since the end of the regular season, since there was no real reason for us to do any podcasts in the meantime, since October was the story, and the Yankees, frankly, weren't really doing that much anyway. Though there was some news that we will get to on the podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns, here with Matt Provenzano and Matt Ferencik. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yep. Did you enjoy the playoffs at all?
Yeah, they were really entertaining.
Yes. It's a lot of fun.
Gotta say, yeah, lots of fun watching the Royals be ridiculous and watching Madison Bumgarner.
Pull a best Christy Mathewson impression.
Yeah, that was seriously probably the best postseason pitching performance I've ever seen.
Yep, yeah. Easily. I mean, like I said, only one that was better was Mathewson, and that was, like, in 1905.
Yeah, that was when he threw, like, 3 shutouts in, like, 6 days or something, which isn't even a thing, so.
You can't do that now. You just can't, so.
No, though, Madison Bumgarner did do his best efforts by throwing, what, 5 shutout innings after 2 days rest, something?
Yeah, he threw, like, what, he threw 14 shutout innings in, like, 3 days.
Which is just utterly ridiculous. That could even happen, but such is what happens in a game 7. So congrats to the Giants. I was pulling for the Royals, but I mean, it's not like I was disappointed to watch Madison Bumgarner shove it all over everyone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. By like the 7th or 8th, like, I was kind of rooting for him.
Yeah. And we also got to see Travis Ishikawa, 2013 Yankees hero, hit a pennant-winning homer. that made me laugh so hard.
No, I turned the game on right when he came up, and I was like, "Oh man, is Travis Ishikawa about to do something to win the series?" And then he hit a home run.
It's like, "Yep."
I mean, I was happy. I was laughing, but at the same time, I'm kind of upset because, like, I thought he was going to be that one name on like Sporkle quizzes that, like, I would get and people would forget about him, but like now everyone's going to remember Travis Ishikawa.
I mean, I don't think they'll remember him on the 2013 Yankees.
No, but just as a player, like, oh, remember Travis Ishikawa? And like everyone would be like, I don't remember that. Oh, yeah. Now everyone's going to know who he is.
Well, yeah, kind of like people remember Chris Burke because he had that walk-off home run in 2005 for the Astros in the 18-inning game that won the series against the Braves. But other than that, he just random nondescript second baseman. Sounded like Travis Ishikawa, random nondescript first baseman. Or left fielder, apparently.
Yeah.
The Giants won a World Series with Travis Ishikawa as their primary left fielder for the playoffs.
Denying Jason Nix a ring.
Jason Nix would have had more World Series rings than hits as a Royal.
I mean, then again, Dan Uglett got a ring.
Yeah, supposedly, I guess.
No, he does. He gets one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Everybody gets one.
Jason Nix, 0-for-8 as a Royal, and then 0-for-3 in the playoffs, but was a Sal Perez home run away from getting a World Series ring.
Nice.
Yeah.
The system works.
It does. Oh. It was a fun playoffs. The World Series, actually, until Game 7, was kind of blowout after blowout, but Game 7 was a lot of fun, as Game 7s tend to be. So, enjoyed that. Great playoffs, even though a lot of sweeps, but highly competitive sweeps, which is weird. So, playoffs done. Now we are in off-season mode, so we are looking toward the future for the Yankees, and the Yankees did make a few moves while all that fun was going on with October baseball that I wish the Yankees were involved in, but alas. Kevin Long, as we thought in the last podcast, we said that it's possible his job could be in jeopardy, and indeed, they decided not to bring him back. He was fired as hitting coach, and he's joined up with the Mets, because that's what you do when you get fired from the Yankees. And they also dropped McKelleher because he was a jerk at first base, apparently.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think of the coaching moves? Were you okay with them letting go these guys, or what do you think?
I mean, we sort of talked about it last time, but we really don't know that much about what's going on, like, in the clubhouse. So I find it difficult to make judgment on what on them, but I don't know. The Yankees have been a poor hitting team for the last 2 years, so I figured they would make the change at hitting coach.
Yeah, I mean, the axe has to fall somewhere, and this year the players are at least the hitters were mostly healthy, and Long wasn't making anything happen, and eventually it comes down, it's got to come down to someone, and when you're the hitting coach, that is your responsibility. So, sorry, thanks for your gear. He was on the job for like 7 years, but it's not a bad idea to try to get a new voice in there. So, as for the McKelleher thing, I don't know, maybe he just told off-color
jokes. Yeah, I don't get that at all. But
he told off-color jokes in the clubhouse, and I don't know, someone took it the wrong way.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it can't hurt. I've said a bunch of times in this podcast, I really don't care about Kevin Long or, like, his job. Or, you know, I really don't know of how much effect that has. But, like, it's more of, like, an accountability thing. If you don't do anything and the offense still sucks, you're like, well, you didn't make any change. You just decided to go for the status quo. So I think it was more of, like, making a change to say we made a change more than, like, making a change because we thought it's going to make the team so much better.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like they could get that much worse anyway.
Yeah, true. They were one of the worst offenses in the league, so.
Yeah.
And another big change, Mark Newman, he retired from his position as Yankees vice president of, his official title is like a vice president of minor league operations or something like that. So that was a pretty big change because he's been on the job for like 15 years now or something like that. And that was his 26th year in the organization in some way. So he's been a presence in the Yankees for a long time, dating back to when like Andy Pettit, Derek Jeter, all those guys were very young, even before them. So while Newman certainly did some work back then, I'm sure he was not like uninvolved with that sort of scouting. In recent years, the farm system under his direction hasn't really produced much aside from a few relievers, some starters, I guess. You have a lot of confidence in Nevan Nova, but I think that was another position where it was time for a new voice, so it was okay that he decided to retire.
Yeah, and I think I use retirement lightly because you don't know what the conversation was. Mm-hmm. It could have been something on the lines of, well, are you retiring?
I guess.
Because like, he, you know, did do a lot of stuff, like, did help out a lot. And, I mean, granted, if I'm not mistaken, they did, like, he did help, like, the whole Phil Hughes era, Jabba Chamberlain era, get through the farm system. So, not a total failure, because that was in my opinion, a very successful draft. So, not a total failure, but yeah, failure. I think the Steinbrenners are really, like, upset with the failure to produce position players. Mm-hmm. And, that's like, a big problem.
Excuse me. Since Damon Oppenheimer was hired to sort of run their drafts, they've had drafts that people have said were generally okay, other than, you know, some weird first-round picks here and there with, you know, Cito Culver and Dante Bichette and whatever. But people have said that the drafts have been okay. It's just a matter of, like, translating the talent to the major league level, and that just hasn't happened, really. They've only turned out one position player, really, since Robinson Cano, and that's Brett Gardner. Maybe you want to count Austin Jackson, but he's not playing in pinstripes. So, either way, they're not producing much, so new direction, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, you got it. And I feel like in a field where it's so high failure, like most of these guys aren't going to pan out anyway, you know. It's like, what are we really losing? Like, the only thing you're really losing is, like, maybe it becomes a total disaster. But, like, the guy's a well, you know, if someone's a well-respected scout or player development, like, guy, then, like, it can't be much worse than what happened. you know.
Yeah.
And they replaced him with Gary Denbo, who has been with the organization and out of the organization several times in the past decade. But he's been associated with the Yankees for a while, and he was in like a position, I believe, over the past couple of years where he was like a coordinator in the system.
Yeah.
So it almost seems like maybe they were possibly even training him for this job. Because after the 2013 season, I know I was reading Baseball America, Hal Steinbrenner had a meeting with his higher-ups talking about like new directions they have to take. So, again, maybe, as you said, maybe they could have said, so, Mark, you're retiring? He's like, I guess so. Like, good.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just said, like, you retire or we're going to find somebody else for the position, just so you don't look bad.
Yeah, and they did directly replace Pat Roessler, who is the director of player development. So he's getting replaced as well. I don't think they've announced his official replacement yet, but either way, it'll be interesting to see where the system goes from here, and it'll take a while to figure it out, just because the nature of minor leaguers and all that. But that part of the job goes, I'm sure, ties into Cashman and Girardi's current extensions, because they're due to expire around the same time, and maybe they'll have by that point, Hal will have hoped to get a better gauge on it from there.
Yeah, I think that, like, 2017 is, like, a real watermark, because, like, not only is Cashman's contract expiring, Girardi's is, but, like, everyone from, like, that 2019 is going to be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Teixeira, CeCe, A-Rod.
It's going to be a completely clean slate, so I guess the team will basically be like, if we need to start a brand new direction, we can do that. So Brian Cashman kind of has this mandate to get things done and to put the team in a right direction, and he has 3 years to do it, and if he doesn't, then the Yankees have the ability to just wipe the slate clean, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's fair. I mean, obviously we'll have to see how Cashman does over the next 3 years, but If we're at the end of 3 years and the Yankees still haven't made the playoffs since 2012, then yeah, you can let him go.
Yeah, because now you've had 5 years, you know, and that should be enough time with a team with that type of payroll and that type of ability, and especially considering how smart Cashman's front office is, 5 years is not an unreasonable thing to have one, you know, postseason appearance.
And with a system that people have been saying are slowly getting better with the likes of Aaron Judge and Luis Severino and Gary Sanchez, Rob Refsnauer, these other prospects coming up that just seem a lot better than the prospects that we were getting from the years past. So,
yeah.
Greg Bird, too. I don't know why I forgot Greg Bird. Sorry, Greg. I know you're listening.
I think a lot rides on that next class of minor league players. Because if they all come up and they're duds, I think Cashman's in a very bad position, because he's going to have to fill those holes with like the likes of 2014 and 2013, which we've seen as a disaster. So if Refsnyder isn't good and Judge flops and you get all these like domino things,
then
like,
you'll get your Brian Roberts.
You get a very bad scenario where you're just like, okay, these free agents who are now bad, combined with these old guys off the scrap heap, it could be very ugly. So Brian Cashman has to be lucky as well as savvy.
Another thing we kind of went over quickly, the Yankees have been interviewing several people for the hitting coach position. They haven't hired anyone yet, but knowing our luck, they'll probably hire someone just after we post this podcast on Friday.
Yeah.
But they interviewed Chili Davis, who decided to take the job at the Red Sox instead, like a jerk. He had been with the A's. They interviewed Dave Magadan, who was the Rangers hitting coach, and they decided not to hire him. They offered to interview Eric Kinski, but he decided to stay with the Chicago Cubs, I guess, because, I don't know, maybe he knew Joe Maddon was coming. That's another weird thing that happened during the playoffs. But they did interview this guy who's been with the He's been with the organization before. He used to be a Cubs hitting coach, James Rosen. And we don't know anything about him, obviously. But, you know, I'm sure he's not terrible if he got an interview for a Major League hitting coach position. So
yeah.
And They also interviewed Marcus Timms, who's the Trenton Thunder hitting coach. It seems from what people were talking about, he's probably not going to get the job, but it's very possible he might get bumped up to AAA because the AAA Yankees let go of their hitting coach, Butch Weininger, too. So that's another thing. And then maybe the option that I find most intriguing, Raul Labañez, fresh off not playing in the World Series because he was on he's traveling with the Royals because he's on the roster, but he wasn't on the World Series roster. But still, apparently they do have some interest in talking to Raul Labañez about a coaching position. Maybe it's not the hitting coach position. Imagine Raul Labañez coaching for the 2015 Yankees.
I have no idea.
That'd be weird.
If he'd be any good, but I would enjoy that at first.
Oh, it would be so amusing. It's like,
and if he gets like really frustrated, just get off the bench and just take an at bat.
Pop one out. Or more likely than not, roll over on a grounder.
Yeah.
And some other rumors, I think they were... There was some talk about maybe they'd talk to Dante Bichette, who is a friend of Joe Girardi's and obviously the father of DBJ, but I don't think anything ever came of that. I would really like to see them interview Jason Giambi, just because that would be just great.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is Jason Giambi already has a pretty good rapport with Cleveland. From what I've heard, everybody loves him in Cleveland. They think he's great. And, like, remember, he did turn down to be the manager of the Rockies.
Well, he was turned down. He didn't turn down the job.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But he...
But still,
you know,
yeah, he was interviewing for a job as a manager, like, right after playing.
Yeah, and apparently all the people in Cleveland look up to him as pretty much a player manager, so mm-hmm. I would not be opposed.
Yep.
Yep.
Either way, Yankees know about this stuff far more than we do, because... Which is so much that goes into the job of like hitting coach and first base coach and stuff that we have no idea about. So they'll hire people. They'll probably won't be much consequence. And we'll get to talk about more interesting things, such as like who the Yankees might go after in the offseason on the trade market or free agent market or whatever.
Yeah.
Another thing going on, the Arizona Fall League have right now some of the big prospects there. Aaron Judge is out there. Greg Bird's out there. Tyler Austin. Do you believe DBJ is out there as well?
I like to call them Jerd.
Yes. AFL power couple Jerd. They are doing okay out there, to say the least.
All right.
Judge, in particular, had two home runs today, and one of them was a monster shot, so that is okay. I support it.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out the individual batting leaders. Greg Bird is hitting 347, 400, 653 with an AFL high 6 home runs.
Pretty good.
Judge is hitting 288, 387, 577 with 4 home runs, and I don't believe that counts what he's done today. So he's now tied with Bird with 6 home runs, I guess. Again, not bad.
I will endorse that outcome.
And Tyler Austin, who's been under the radar this year, but is doing pretty well. He's hitting 322, 394, 492. So that's pretty good. Doing work, yes. Baby Bombers. I like it.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the AFL is pretty high talent level as well. Mm-hmm. It's mostly like very good prospects, not like just your run-of-the-mill prospects, so that definitely says something.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how hard they're playing in the fall.
Yeah. And I think at one point, I think Slade Heathcott might have been like an Arizona Fall League MVP, but so we can't like put too much in this, but it's still good to see like Greg Bird still playing well, Judge still playing well. Judge is definitely playing at a level higher than he was playing this year, I would say. The AFL caliber of players, probably above A-ball.
And he's starting to get picked up by a lot of mainstream writers who are kind of, like, unable to ignore his ability because he's just a behemoth.
Oh, man. Great headline on Arizona Fall League. Judd rules with pair of homers.
Oh, so many puns for Aaron Judge. So many. Wait.
This needs to happen, Aaron Judge.
I just want him to be on the Yankees so, like, the Daily News can just use every pun that ever was created for the word Judge.
He homers on, like, the first at bat. It's like, opposition dismissed.
We've come to a decision or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he also threw someone out from the outfield today.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He needs to become a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we still got another year to go for that to be a thing.
He homered like straight away center in the Arizona Fall League for the second home run. Not bad. Tyler Austin got an assist today. And he went
How old is he now? How old is Judge now? 23? 22.
Yeah.
Still relatively young, so
he won't be 23 until April.
So yeah, it'll be his age 23 season.
Interestingly, Tyler Austin is only 23 as well, so he's not that old either.
Yeah, he seems much older.
Probably because he was drafted out of high school, so a little different.
True.
Greg Bird's only 21. He actually turns 22 in November 9th, so. But he's pretty young.
They're all turning at that ripe age kind of at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which bodes well because, you know, if most, like, what, 70% don't work out, they've got, like, seven of them guys who are, like, of this, not of the same caliber, but of a decent prospect level. Just get one of them.
The more lottery tickets you have, the better.
Yeah, I mean, Severino's 20.
Gary Sanchez has been a bit of a wild card, but he's only turning 22 in December.
Yeah, so...
He's really young. And as you just mentioned, Severino is a baby.
Yeah, I mean, he was just signed as an international free agent. Like,
he was born in 1994.
International amateur. Yep, that's my year.
Great.
He is younger than me, if I'm not mistaken. But not by much.
Well, still, you've hit that point. There are prospects younger than you.
He's older than me. Yeah. He's older than me by, like, 3 months, 4 months.
Well, Ian Clarkin is younger than you, so.
Yeah.
Ian Clarkin is a full year younger, exactly. Oh, no, not exactly, but almost exactly than Severino, because he's 1995. So, yeah, as you can tell, we're pretty excited by these young players the Yankees have in the minors. I just need them to not, like, get shredded by the higher minors, like we've seen so many players in the recent past. The less we talk about Mason Williams, the better.
R.I.P.
Yeah. The less we talk about Slade Heathcott and his broken bones, the better.
Actual R.I.P.
I mean, I guess Mason Williams is an excellent example of why you shouldn't get too excited. Because Mason Williams at one point was like, oh, he's the next center fielder of the Yankees.
Yeah, of course he also hadn't really done that much since he was in Charleston. And at least, like, Judge and Bird and all those people have been doing it, like, in AA. Or at least high A.
Yeah.
And in Bird's case, he's been doing it in AA a bit, too. So, that's fun.
Yeah. I mean, as recently as 2013, the BP annual made an Austin Jackson comp to Mason Williams. So.
Well. We all make that your pipe. But we're excited about these prospects, so hopefully they'll continue their NFL performance and carry it over into 2015. And maybe we'll see one of them. Maybe we'll see Refsnyder. We'll see.
That'd be nice.
Yep. Okay. So, another topic of discussion. There's a guy who Yankees activated from the restricted list. Have you heard of him?
Who?
Alexander Rodriguez.
Not really familiar.
No. Have you heard of him? Beppe, is he prospect?
I only started becoming a fan this year.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't on the team this year, so I don't know who he is.
Yeah, and he's, like, just appearing this year? That's weird. I wonder, where was he, do you think? Sabbatical?
Yeah, exactly. He was on sabbatical. he was writing his dissertation.
Man, what do you think his dissertation would be on?
The sociological implications of performance-enhancing drugs.
Possibly, yeah. Or how I did steroids and did not shoot my middle finger off like Jose Canseco.
Or like the Civil War.
It's about the Civil War. Or it would be like the it'll be like the O.J. Simpson book, If I Did It.
No, actually his dissertation is on the similarities and conflicts between the American Civil War and his own personal Civil War against Bud Selig. But in all seriousness, A-Rod is back, and yeah, we don't know what's going to go on with that. It's just a hot mess. Some people just want nothing to do with him. They want him cut immediately. They don't want to see him at all. Some people are under this strange delusion that he will return to the A-Rod of even 2012, which is a bit bold, gotta say. I have no idea what to expect, and I don't want to write about it.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. Preferably, this will be the last podcast we talk about it until spring training.
Yep.
Unless something crazy happens, you know.
Until he, like, crashes a scooter into, like, the training complex.
Yeah. There's really nothing to talk about. He is definitely not going to be what he was in 2012. Because he's like 2 years older.
Yeah. This is a guy who will be turning 40 next year. Who, by the way, you know, like, remember how bad Derek Jeter looked? He turned 40 this year. Yeah, so. And he also has played only 44 games of baseball in the past 2 years. He's playing on twice surgically repaired hips. And he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And he can't really play third base anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. He's a sunk cost, so, like, it doesn't matter about whether he's good enough for his contract. It doesn't matter anymore.
No,
they're paying his contract, so really the only question is he going to be good enough to play somewhere? Does he fit on the team? Question is, we don't know. So he'll try out in spring training like everybody else.
I want to see him, like, compete with Jose Perella for a job.
I mean, they should just sign Chase Headley.
They really should.
And then there won't have to be a competition. Just tell Chase Headley, you're starting. And A-Rod, you can just fill in. Because A-Rod could play third, he could play first.
DH.
So he could like he could play. But maybe he won't play every day.
Shortstop.
My favorite are the beat writers who are, like, handling tweets from people that are like...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I'm getting people saying that A-Rod should play shortstop, and it's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I mean, he's not, obviously. But here's the other thing, is they shouldn't be... Even if he's good enough to play on the team, they shouldn't be hesitant to cut bait. Like, if he's bad and he just, like, pulls an Alfonso Soriano...
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Throw him out like a dirty rag. Because, you know, they pay him $61 million from now until the end of the 2017 season, which, again, thank you so much, Hank Steinbrenner. Thank you just so dearly. But and, I mean, if he's not going to be helpful, then just he's not worth the headache. So I'm of the camp where I don't care what they do with him at all. They could cut him now, and I'd be like, I understand, just because it's such a pain in the ass to deal with him. But obviously, if they want to see what he has got in spring training, maybe if he wants to, if he's a legitimate backup option for Mark Teixeira at first base, maybe he's your solution for that. And I'm sure he'd get a fair amount of time at DH as well. So,
yeah, he probably would be the best solution for the Mark Teixeira problem. Mm-hmm. Because who are they going to go out and sign? Like Mark Reynolds?
Oh.
Like, then he's literally, Mark Reynolds can just play first base.
Yeah. Like, A-Rod, I would not trust him at third base at all. The only time I would ever want to see him there is maybe if he's giving Chase Headley a day off.
Yeah. I mean, if Mark Teixeira...
He cannot be a starter at third base. That just can't happen.
If Mark Teixeira plays 130 games, we'd be lucky if he did, but if he plays 130 games, A-Rod plays, like, 30, mm-hmm. and then plays like 30 games at third base or 20 games at third base and then plays like 30 games at DH. Cool. He gets like 90 games in and can kind of just fill in the hole.
My God, you would definitely take that. I mean, last in 2013, yeah, he had all the Biogenesis thing hovering around him too, but he was dealing with that like hip surgery recovery and he only played 44 yeah. games. Season before that, when he was 36, which is a lot younger than 39, which will be at the start of next year, he only played 122 games. And then season before that, he played 99. So it's I can't expect anything more than 100 games for him at most, really. I would be stunned.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just...
There's like no precedent for anything like this, really. It's ludicrous, really.
You mean just coming back from 1 year of injury? Or, I mean, 1 year of suspension, as you're saying, or just his age?
Well, like, coming back from... Well, the suspension is its own other thing. But even just on a pure baseball perspective, he's only played, like, 44 games in the last 2 years, and he's had, like, twice reconstructed hips, and he's...
Oh, yeah.
39 already. It's just...
Yeah, so...
What are the comps? Back... There aren't really comps.
If you look back, it's pretty much a mixed bag. But, I mean, most of them are Hall of Famers because, you know, like, that's the only ones who get that far.
Right, they're the ones who get that chance, really.
And if you look at, they're all, like, they were all good. Like, it was, like, Willie Mays, Ty Cobb, Dave Winfield, Greg Nettles, I guess, would be. But, like, Greg Nettles was aged much better. George Brett. I mean, there were a few really bad ones, but... The only comp that I could find relatively accurate was Cal Ripken.
Did he have like a season where he missed a lot of time? I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying like age 40 seasons. His final year was his age 40 season.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't.
So, good. Yeah, his age 39 season was what you'd expect. He played 83 games, 92 WRC plus, 1.3 WAR. Now, I'm just totally spitballing this, but that sounds like what A-Rod would be if he was playing this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
That kind of sounds similar. And then that last year, Cal Ripken was negative 0.5 WAR, 67 WRC plus in 128 games.
Yeah, you thought Jeter was a bad all-star starter? Mm-mm. This guy.
Yeah, so it could be that. And he's definitely not going to be Greg Nettles in his age 40 season. This is not.
Yeah. Well, Greg Nettles is always a pretty good defender, too. And A-Rod's...
Well, I mean, he also didn't have any like years where he missed completely, and he aged relatively well. He had no large peaks. He was just consistently pretty good.
Yeah. So, it's not easy to find exact comps for what A-Rod might do. It's There's one season there's one guy I'm looking at, Andres Galarraga. When he was 38, he missed the entire 1999 season because he was undergoing cancer treatment. Mm. A little bit different than a steroid suspension.
Yeah.
But he was mostly healthy beforehand in terms of like baseball health. But he came back in 2000 and he was an all-star for the Braves with 141 games, a 123 OPS plus, 28 homers. But that's like a really good season. I wouldn't expect that at all. And the next season, he took a step back to a 103 OPS plus at age 40 in 121 games. So that seems a bit more... That almost seems like his best case. And maybe Cal Ripken's 2000 season is like a... Maybe, I don't know. I feel like saying that's a median is too high.
Yeah, I mean, like 90th percentile would be him being an okay backup player.
Mm-hmm. And like him being DH.
Yeah, but like, and here's the thing about him is, if he does play a full year, and he's good enough to play the full year, he will not play in 2016. If he's good enough to play all of 2015, he's still not going to play in 2016. Like his last 2 years are going to be a wash anyway. So the question is really whether he's good enough to play just this upcoming year. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he's good this year, why wouldn't he play next year?
I mean, not good, but you know what I mean? Like, okay, like, mm-hmm. You know, but kind of like...
Oh, yeah, he'd probably fall off. Yeah,
is like, even if he does make the team in 2016, it'll be gone pretty quickly.
And by then, maybe the Yankees have to eat. They'd have to eat less money to get rid of him, which I'm sure eventually that will probably be what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, technically, it's his age 39 season.
Ah.
Not age 40.
Yeah, still. It's the same thing, really, because it's right down the middle.
Yeah.
Either way, A-Rod's going to be in a bit of an adventure figuring out what the hell is going on with him over the next season. Because, you know, we can't forget that Carlos Beltran is basically a DH at this point, too, so we'll see how that works. But
what could go wrong?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I guess if they're both healthy at the same time, it'll be weird. So chances are they'll maybe the best case is them alternating injuries. Like, all right, Carlos, time for me to whack you on the knee. What? Ow! It's like, fine, I'll get you in a couple months.
It's Carlos Beltran in the bed in the scene from Misery.
Yes. Oh, boy. So, but I think that's about as much as we can talk about A-Rod without, like, pulling a hair out.
Yeah, I'm done with him.
Yeah. Hmm.
So one more thing to talk about. We talked about the playoffs a little bit, but we'll have a award season coming up soon. But the old traditional baseball things with, you know, sometimes silly voting, but still can't help ourselves from getting interested by it. So I thought it'd be nice to see who each of us would have for each of the major awards coming out, which, you know, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, and I don't know. I guess we'll say manager of the year, too, just for the hell of it. So we can start with the manager of the year just to get that out of the way. Matt F., who do you have in the American League?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, this is the most informal discussion, so.
I mean, I guess it would go to Ned Yost. I mean,
Yosted.
Yeah. I don't know, manager of the year is like a weird award for me to think about.
Yeah. Well, that's weird for the writers to vote on, too. And remember, this is like stuff that's like being voted on before the postseason, so.
Right. Yeah, I still think he might get it anyway.
It's possible.
Since he got them into the playoffs, but.
Weirder things have happened. What about you, Matt P?
You mean who do I think is going to win, or who do I want to, who do I think should win?
I could give both, I don't care.
I mean, I personally think Showalter is going to win for the American League.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be it.
And yeah, the National League, that would be my pick for who would win in the American League.
In the National League, I don't know. Bruce Bochy.
Bochy seems like a safe yeah. choice.
And yeah. I have my ballot I had for Baseball Prospectus. They had everybody fill out like baseball award ballot, so mine was for American League. I picked Joe Girardi, actually. I thought he did a fantastic job with a team that wasn't good.
I'll probably get some down votes, yeah.
Yeah. Showalter and then Socha. And for the National League, I picked Hurdle, then Bochy, then Mike Redman.
Yeah. I could see them. I mean, I guess Hurdle just won National League Manager of the Year last year, so he's probably not going to repeat, but...
No, yeah, but...
I would say Matt Williams is probably going to win the National League.
Probably.
I think there's a decent chance Mike Socha wins in the American League, too, just because, like, he kind of cobbled... He was behind a roster that was kind of cobbled together, and they somehow had the best record in baseball, so...
Yeah.
But... Again, this isn't an interesting award, so let's just move on. I'm just waiting for someone to vote Bo Porter instead of protest.
Only one voting Bo Porter is Bo Porter.
Someone votes Ron Washington. Oh, awkward. Okay, Rookie of the Year. Who do you guys have, American League and National League?
I think we can safely say American League is going to be Jose Abreu.
Yeah, I don't think there's any dancing around that.
Yep.
That was just an unbelievable rookie season.
Yeah.
As much as I love Dylan and Tanaka.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll get some down ballot votes. Kind of like Drew.
Yep.
But In the National League, it gets more interesting. I think it's a toss-up between Billy Hamilton and Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say DeGrom. I think he'll get it.
Yeah, I think I'd say DeGrom as well.
My ballot was DeGrom, then Billy Hamilton, then Ender Inciarte, then Travis Darno, then Colton Wong.
Whew! That is not a good rookie class, National League.
No.
Nope.
They swapped places with the American League this year.
And then for the American League, I put in Abreu, then Dellin, then Yordano Ventura, then Marcus Stroman, then Mookie Betts.
You should have given Tanaka a vote. God.
I don't know. I just didn't feel right giving Tanaka a vote after missing a good portion of the season.
He still pitched a decent chunk.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me check something, actually. So DeGrom made 22 starts. Tanaka made 20. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, I would still feel okay giving Tanaka at least.
It's just more like the rookies that get called up don't have a choice in how long, like they can't get called up at the beginning of the season and play the whole season.
Jerks. But yeah, did you say who you have for National League, Matt F?
Yeah, I'd go with the DeGrom too, but I don't know.
Yeah,
throw darts at the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Why not? Seem like a nice guy. This is probably your career highlight, so. How about for a Cy Young Award? I mean, National League, I think we all know who it is.
Yeah, it's Jake Peavy.
Yep.
I was going to say Mike Zagurski, but. Actually, I don't even know if he even pitched in the National League this year.
Did he not pitch?
But he could. He should still be awarded it for his potential. Now it's Clayton Kershaw, and he was just a monster.
Yup.
He was like...
quite good.
The one season he didn't win the Cy Young Award in the past four, he probably should have won it over Ari Dickey.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
So, like, I mean, I never thought that I would see anyone like Randy Johnson winning four Cy Young Awards in a row again, but Kershaw probably should have had that.
If there's someone who would do it, he could do it.
That's true. To do it. Since 2011, he has an ERA of 2.11.
That'll do.
That's okay.
No whip of 0.946. That's okay. I think my favorite Kershaw thing is, like, obviously this is cherry picking, but, like, you remove the one really bad start he had this year, which is randomly against the Diamondbacks, and his ERA was even better.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to do that right now. So, in that one start, he only went an inning and two-thirds and gave up 7 runs, which you wonder how that's even possible.
Yeah, I remember watching that game. That was a terrible game.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is, yes, very scintillating podcast, I know. But his ERA would have been 1.46.
Yikes.
As opposed to 1.77. Cherry picking, but who says it can't be fun? Also, that no-hitter he threw. That was a lot of fun.
Yes. Which is pretty much, in my opinion, it's a perfect game.
Oh, yeah. That was...
yeah.
Yeah. With 15 strikeouts. Jeez.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was an amazing game. Okay, anyway. We're distracted by Kershaw's awesomeness. American League Cy Young is...
I guess... Bill Hughes.
Kluber.
Bill Hughes. No. Yeah, Kluber would be a good choice. It's Kluber or Felix. And I think...
I'm going with Kluber.
Kluber might have edged Felix at the end of the season. It's pretty crazy. But my heart still says Felix.
Hmm. I mean, I don't fault anyone for picking Felix, but...
And he'll probably win just because people don't know Kluber. God, gotta go with the big name from Seattle. Small market biased.
Felix is throwing 2,000 innings, basically, through his age 28 season.
Ludicrous. According to Baseball Reference, Kluber's nickname is Klubot.
Yes, I've heard that one. Yeah, the Klubot.
It'll be tight, and I don't blame anyone for voting Kluber or Felix.
Yeah.
They are the right choices. Maybe Phil Hughes would vote for himself to protect his record strikeout-to-walk ratio or whatever stupid record that was. Congrats, bro. All right, AL MVP. I think this is also a pretty easy one for us.
Yeah, it's Miguel Cabrera.
Yes. He had the grit.
No, it's Eduardo Nunez.
Oh, right, yeah. That's right, he did all those things that he tweeted about.
His helmet.
Yes.
They picked his helmet on.
It is Michael Trout's. And I think this is the year that the writers will actually agree.
Yeah. It's because there's, like, no one beating him with, like, obviously, with, like, the home runs and the RBIs and, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this year he had the ribeyes on his side, too.
Yeah, so.
Though I'd be curious if the White Sox had done better, I wonder how much Jose Abreu would have given him trouble for it.
He could have. It totally could have been possible.
It's obviously, it's better to be an outfielder than a first baseman, but he was so
the voters good. Don't really care about defense.
Yeah. Yep. National League is a bit more interesting. I think they'll still give it to Kershaw, but I would consider McCutcheon.
I think Kershaw will get it, but I'm making a bold pick for MVP.
Cargo?
No, my bold pick is Lucroy. I don't think that he's going to win, but that's my personal pick.
That would be bold, but
it's a bold one.
It is, but I'd give it to McCutcheon. I think McCutcheon's just a monster.
And yeah, no, I think
I acknowledge that Lucroy provides a ton of value behind the plate.
That's the only thing is, like, it's not popular because a lot of Lucroy's value is on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of value on defense.
It is.
It's like 14 runs above average, just straight up defense, and then like 23 runs in framing and stuff, which is a ton of value. But unfortunately, it's not sexy value.
No, and McCutcheon just hit the world out of the ball this year.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but again, it'll probably still just go to Kershaw. So, but you know, I can't hate that.
Yep.
And I think we should also take another moment to appreciate Andrew McCutcheon's contract.
Oh my God, that contract! That was
six years, $51.5 million with a 2018 club option.
I knew that was going to be a great contract. Like the moment sign, I'm like, oh my God, they just Pirates just got to the Pirates got to steal. And since signing that contract, which covers 2012 to 2017, he has hit absurd levels. Since 2012, he has hit .320, .405, .534, 105 doubles, and 77 homers. Plus, not to mention, you know, helping the team make the playoffs for the first time in forever, and also just the crazy revenue I'm sure the McCutcheon jerseys generate.
Yep.
God, Pittsburgh needs, like, a good face. Don't need Ben Roethlisberger trolling around.
Yeah, no, screw him.
if we may dip into football for a moment.
Dip into the football drudgery.
Hand egg.
Hand egg.
Oh, boy. But, so those are our official hot take Pinstripe Valley awards. And of course, the Yankees don't get anything because they're not really good.
Yeah, woo!
I feel like Dylan might finish like third in Rookie of the Year, though. I'd be okay with that. This is my very not even looking at other rookies. I just want Dylan to finish somewhere. Give Dylan some game respect because he didn't give him that reliever award. He finished second for that, but you
because
know,
because of no saves, so.
Yeah, though it would have been pretty great if like the first winner of the Mariano Rivera Award wasn't a closer. Yes, Greg Holland is good, but if you're going to give it to a Royals reliever, give it to Wade Davis. I mean, what do you... Ugh, whatever. Award season. It's that time of year again. All right. So, now we can go to the tweet bag. There's not too much in the tweet bag this week, just because, you know, there's nothing going on, really. So, first we'll go to the Twitter. We have one tweet bag question here. If healthy, do you think the Yankees can be serious contenders in 2015? That's from Luke Becker 15. I think that's a pretty broad question. Because I feel like that's a pattern of very successful teams staying healthy. Yeah.
Every team stays healthy, they'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, not like the Mets, they'll be terrible. Just because Mets.
Just because law Mets.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if healthy, sure, but there's so many question marks for health right
now. Yeah.
I mean, I love Tanaka, but he's a huge question mark. Pineda, I love Pineda, but he's a question mark. Even if they re-sign McCarthy, he's had some injury problems in the past. CeCe, who the hell even knows what's going on there? A-Rod, we've already talked about. God, he's not staying healthy.
They need a shortstop.
Oh, yeah, need a shortstop. That's a little thing. You might have heard the shortstop, he retired. Small thing, I don't know. It's kind of, the lead is buried. Carlos Beltran, huge question mark.
Yeah. I'd be very surprised if everybody stayed relatively healthy.
Yeah. But I agree. If healthy, sure, they could be contenders. I see no reason why not. No one in the AL East is really dominating the competition. I know the Orioles did very well this year, but I don't know if they'll be as good in 2015.
Yeah, they got to hope that Steve Pierce is an all-star again.
God.
Which I would not be surprised if he just fell off the face of the earth.
I can't believe that was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Steve Pierce and Travis Chikawa, very relevant people in 2014.
Somebody's bizarro world come to life.
Yeah. All right. Next question from longtime listener. Would Brett Gardner have scored on Alex Gordon's hit last night? Now, this hit is referring to the two outs in the ninth.
Yeah.
Royals were losing by one. That's a bad with Madison Bumgarner destroying everyone. Alex Gordon lined a single to left center. Center fielder played it, but it got by him and ended up going to the wall where the left fielder also misplayed it. And Gordon was around third base when the relay came in to Brandon Crawford, a little bit back of the shortstop position. And there was some question about whether they should have just sent Alex Gordon to try to score that run. Now, he would have been toast, I'm pretty sure. And there have been some good analysis from, Jeff Sullivan and other writers, technology and stuff proven that he would have been out. But Brett Gardner, I don't know.
Yeah, I read Tom Tanga wrote something that, the break-even point for that type of play you'd have to have a 27% chance of making it to justify running there. And I think Brett Gardner would have had a 27% chance of making it.
I think so too.
When they show that angle where the ball is right around the infield, Gordon now is just rounding third base.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was Gardner, he would have been past third base already. He would have been on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like Gordon's I don't think he's a bad base runner either.
Yeah, and I mean, we all know Rob Thompson would have sent him anyway, so...
Oh, yeah. So we would have had an interesting end to the World Series regardless. But...
Yeah, it would have been Rule 713 with Buster Posey at home plate. That would have been totally interesting.
Okay, so this year, Alex Gordon had 12 steals and his Fangraphs base running score is plus 5.9. So that's not bad, really.
It's not, but the thing is, his raw... It's like base running can be a little bit different than just raw speed.
Oh, yeah.
So his base running is probably smart, but not, very, very fast.
Right, right. And again, I don't think anyone's disputing that Greg Gardner has a lot more speed than Alex Gordon.
Yeah.
So,
Alex Gordon just has a better, first step reaction and better root efficiency and all that stuff.
So it would have been interesting if he had, obviously it's hard to say, why wasn't he, busting it out of the box? Because it was, it looked like a routine.
It was a single.
It would have been interesting if he was running full speed the whole way. Maybe he would have had an extra step or two, but
I don't blame him.
I think it still would have been a very risky ascend, especially that late in the game.
Well, yeah, with two outs.
Yeah, that was when you're riding your season on that. Yeah, that would have been awkward. So that's our answer to that. So Yankee Mitra of the week.
Yeah, who's playing some bad golf this week for the Yankees?
Yeah, I don't know. well, I'll say my Yankee of the week is Yeah.
It's A-Rod.
The of the week is puppies.
Yes, puppies. It's a fair Yankee of the week.
Yeah, Derby.
Oh, yeah, Derby at the ticket office. He's being helpful. So, yeah, Derby's Yankee of the week. Aaron Judge, Greg Bird, Yankees of the week. That's fair, too. They are doing.
Victory of the week is A-Rod for coming back so we could talk about him.
Should have retired.
He should have just not taken the money, you know? Like, he should have just retired and left the money on the table.
Name me a Mitre of the Week, Matt F.
Well, personally for me, it's my soccer team, Aston Villa.
Bastards.
I hate them more than anything right now.
I hear they've been worse than the 2014 Yankees. Is that true?
Somehow, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They're horrendous.
Dedication.
Are they bad enough that they would like fall out of the Premier League?
They're not in the bottom three right now, but if they keep playing the way they are, yeah, they get off to a good start, which is
yay.
Imagine if MLB was the Premier League, the Astros would have been sent down. They called the Louisville Colonels or whatever.
If you set the Toledo for a 3-game series.
Yeah, I don't know how this ballpark's going to get filled. Okay. So, I think that'll do it for the Pinstripe Alley podcast, unless either of you guys have anything.
No. We'll have to wait for the hot stove.
No B-Ref segment this week either. We didn't really have much to look for, so whatever. Next, I'm not sure when we'll come back next, but probably a couple weeks from now or so, unless there's really huge news. Whoever they hire as hitting coach is not going to be huge news unless it's A-Rod. So
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Derek Jeter is nah, I decided I want to coach after all. Alright, so you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley. Follow the GIFs account at PSA_GIFs. You can follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. Follow Matt F on Twitter at MattF15. You can follow Matt Provenzano on Twitter at MattProv94. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PinstripeAlley. We went over 3,000 likes on Facebook this month, so that was pretty nice. And we are approaching 6,000 followers on Twitter. So we're at 5,750 right now, so we can get the final 25%, the extra 25% to get us to the top. It's probably not, it's not exactly 25%, but it just sounds nicer that way. Rate and review on iTunes. Always appreciate any feedback you have for how we've done during the 2014 season. And answer the Tweetbag questions when I put them up every couple weeks. Always love to hear any sorts of questions you might have about what the hell the Yankees are going to do this offseason, because it is a huge mystery to us at the moment. Any bold predictions?
My bold trade for Eduardo Nunez.
That would be bold.
My bold prediction is
a sock.
My bold prediction is the Yankees send Chase Headley.
Very bold.
Yeah, that's my bold prediction.
Bold prediction. They trade Austin Romine for Madison Bumgarner. Ha ha.
And cash.
Yes. Well, I think that'll do it for us on the Pinstripe Alley podcast. So have a good night.